Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
It's Kyle O'Reilly.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
I'm Rocky Asuka Romero.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk, home of Lou Gowen.
Support WrestleTalk.
Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Lou Gowen is, quote the Raven, nevermore.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it. Bro.
But you really should support WrestleTalk and you should follow them and subscribe right now.
Ollie told me to say this, so I guess it's okay.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Make sure you watch and listen to WrestleTalk.
Or better yet, take just a moment, stop what you're doing, and bask in their glory.
Do us all a favor and subscribe.
Congratulations, you got here. Now subscribe and support. Thanks.
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, SWAP Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis, on this monumental day where NXT will be going live on the USA Network.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the streaming software that we were experimenting with that's pushed the recording back.
No. I was just talking about, like, I was going to not talk about the behind-the-curtain stuff and just talk about my chair's very high.
I was getting in the excuses early for why these are short intros and outros.
Because you just want to, again, just point out that it's your fault?
I don't know. What do you think, King Chopper? His microphone's muted.
Why do you always throw to me when my microphone's off and I'm doing other things?
I thought you didn't want producers talking during the intros and outros as well. That's what you used to tell Randy.
Yeah, I know. But look at Chopper all over there.
Well, anyway,
he's getting
so
big for his crown. He's wearing a crown, by the way. He's legit wearing a crown.
Let's not talk about things that are visual that the podcast audience can't see.
Can't we talk about this lovely graphic offer for the WrestleTalk magazine that everyone can get, folks? All 10 issues. Catch up with the WrestleTalk magazine before it goes monthly in shops nationwide in the UK for just £15 plus postage and packaging.
Excellent.
Go over to wrestletalk.bigcartel.com.co.uk.
This email came in from Ivan, who says, "Hi, Luke and Ollie. I'm sure you don't care, but just in case you do, the reason there's no football on at 3 o'clock is because that's the time championship teams play, so TV stations can't show Premier League games at 3 p.m. to try and encourage people to go out and watch the smaller teams." I don't believe that's true at all.
That sounds like an
80% fact to me.
Yeah, that sounds like, no, actually, you're only allowed to show 2 Premier League games a day, and they've chosen the early kickoff and the late kickoff.
Yeah. That's how I figured it, yeah.
And everything else can go with Jeff Stelling, I want to say. Jeff guy.
Unbelievable scenes, Jeff.
Unbelievable. The guy with all the graphics.
Who says, there's been a foot goal,
yeah,
at the Bowery. Head on over to Charlie. Who's
the red
got,
button.
Who's got the deets.
He's a man who wears a suit who's trapped in boxes of numbers and letters.
Oh, he is surrounded by them.
I did double sports.
You did do double sports, didn't you,
on
over the
Saturday
weekend?
Yeah. I organised a pub trip to watch the football and the Ruggers, which is rugby, and...
Just in case you're not aware.
It was Friday afternoon. I was trying to scramble together a posse, rustle one up, and I suddenly started to go, you know, maybe it's just easier if we go around Graham's house and play video games on the Switch. And the main sports guy I was trying to impress just said, "You're already buckling. You're already reverting to your video game ways."
But that's the fun way. Like, that's a fun thing to do.
It was, but we do that all the time. I was trying.
And do you know why you do it all the time? Because it's fun.
I had a fun time watching, yeah, Ruggers.
What rugby did you watch?
It was England versus Wales. It was a friendly, but apparently no such thing exists in rugby between England and Wales because they both gouged each other's eyes.
Yeah, they take the rugby very seriously.
Mm, the Welsh.
It's one of the things I don't think I can really get on board with football and sports in general. And perhaps this is, you know, throwing stones in a glass house.
What's the top sport for you?
For me?
Yeah.
That I would watch?
Yeah.
Speed running?
Speed running.
Yeah, it's in like video
Isn't
games.
Just normally
yeah,
running.
Like, no, like
no,
video
no, no,
game
no, no,
speed
no. It's got to be an athletic endeavor. And I know you can say, but it's an endurance thing. You got to train for speed running. I'm talking.
So well, it's not really. It's a mental thing.
Yeah.
Nathan.
It is mental. The speeds they go at.
American football, I guess. That's the only sport I enjoy
to
watch.
It's the worst one to watch.
It's the only sport I'd enjoy watching.
It's like a traffic jam of a sport. Start, stop.
But it's, I mean, they take it well seriously. But one of the reasons I can't get into soccer, for our American listeners, or just, you know, regular football, is it's taken far too seriously. And the players take it too seriously. The managers take it too seriously. The fans take it too seriously. And as I said, this does sound like, you know, stones, glass houses, because I'm on a wrestling podcast taking this very, very seriously. But I think players are just not fun to watch because they're encouraged to just fall down. And that sort of takes away any like competitiveness of it. And it just becomes this big, it's all about money and how much you earn to do the kick and how much holiday you do or something or planes you drive or whatever. And that for me is not the fun bit of football.
Unlike our universal champion, Seth Rollins,
who's
all about the love of the game.
But he's talking about his bank account and he comes across like a twat. And we've said as much on this show. We also got this email in, speaking of Rollins and Raw, this came in from Scott, who said, Luke, I've been enjoying the podcast in my car for a couple of years now, much to the dismay of my wife when we're on road trips. Thank you for all the consistent content. I attended Raw on August 19th and wanted to give you some info on the event. That was last night. So he talks about how, I thought you might like this first sentence here. I've been to several WWE events in Minnesota, brackets, which is by Washington, close brackets, over the last few years, brackets, want even as a guest of Brock Lesnar.
Say what?
But that's a Rusev hay for another day.
I mean, no. That's Rusev hay for right now.
Well, he does not give those details, unfortunately. That is, he has teased us with a Rusev hay.
A flippant... Look, Brock Lesnar does not have friends. He's got a wife.
And Paul Heyman, who is not a friend.
He's a business manager.
Business associate, yes.
And he's got, I think he's got a wife. He's got a business manager.
And
he's got a daughter, I think. And then he's got things he kills.
Yeah.
And he's got a few people he kills things with on his hunts. But that's it, right?
That's the way I remember.
How do you get to be a plus one with Brock Lesnar?
Wow. That's
Was he kidnapped?
That's a tee up for
I think he was kidnapped.
That's a tee up for a Rusev hay for another day. Scott goes into details about sort of the people in the arena and sort of about how they used to do it at the basketball venue, which holds over 2,000, but they've now moved it to the hockey arena, which holds 18,000, and even then the top bit was tarped off. And he said the first main event match was Sarah Logan versus Dana Brooke.
Big match. So Sarah Logan is around.
Yes, as is Dana Brooke. Mm. Remember she had that little mini push where she was encouraging people to believe in themselves or some sort of nonsense?
I mean, both Sarah Logan and Dana Brooke had excellent showings in this year's Women's Battle Royal.
Mm.
Time filler.
The second main event match was Lucha House Party members Gran Metalik and Lince Dorado versus the surprise return of Team Canada, Robert Roode and Eric Young.
Whoa, what?
Yeah, apparently there was a very small TNA chance.
I mean, there should have been a hashtag... No, 10 months free agent. 10 months free agents.
Raw was mostly what you saw on TV. The audio issue with Elias's mic appeared to be real and not part of the gimmick. It was very loud and very annoying. Another note is that during the commercial break after Sami Zayn's match, Sami taunted the crowd for a while on his way to getting some great heat. And then the post-show match, the dark match, was Becky Lynch versus Lacey Evans.
I was going to say, because Becky was not on the show physically, was she?
No, she was just had that little little video. Right, well, should we get into the outro portion podcast? We are going to be talking about some big news from this week's Raw that we won't spoil here. Here's the show. Dig, dig, diggity, dig, diggity, dog. Breaking, dig, dig.
So there was a huge title change on WWE last night. You said you saw it coming. I didn't, because I thought they'd go a different way with this storyline. Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman, two guys who were really set up as the next Universal Championship feud after last week's angle at the end of Monday Night Raw, where Braun cleared house, helped Seth, lifted Seth's arm, but then had a little look at that title.
Well, he handed the title back
to him.
Yeah, but it was like a lot of I quite want one of these, and then handed it back to him.
One of these days, Seth.
Yeah,
one of those. And here, they took on Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson for the Raw Tag Team titles in a match that was set up earlier in the night. And they won.
They did indeed win the title. So when I say that I saw this coming, I think it was more of a hopeful thing. Because when the match was set up and they made it official, I thought, okay, I think I can see where this might go. And it's pretty awesome if this is what the direction they're going to go, is that Braun and Seth win the belts. And then at Clash of Champions, where early in the night they said all titles have to be defended, you're going to have Braun versus Seth as the Universal title main event. But earlier in the show, they're going to also have to defend the tag team titles together. And you can do it. That's actually quite a fun little story.
It's a great story.
And they've done the warring tag partners before. I'm pretty sure every time John Cena's won the tag titles with someone, it's someone he's feuding with and is about to have a WWE Championship match with. But this time it's one where you actually are defending the belts on the same show where you're going to be doing the title match as well. So you can tell the story that they're going to have to get on earlier in the show, but then be warring partners later on. And that's quite fun. It adds a fun little dynamic. And it should add a fun dynamic then to the tag match and to the main event that comes later. So I think it's actually a really interesting way of doing it.
Yeah, I think it's a fantastic night-long storyline that this sets up in the pay-per-view. And, you know, like, really, you want them to drop the titles to Gallows and Anderson, you'll presume, because then it'll be, you know, Braun. If Braun wins, he gets the title, and then you've still got the tag championships on them. It's only one pay-per-view cycle worth of storyline.
Oh, yeah, you can't do this for too long.
Yeah, otherwise the titles are all absorbed into just two people, and that stifles the rest of the card. But if you do that, and Seth and Braun lose the match, they're like, oh, no, Seth's like, oh, damn it, turns around, Braun, power slam. Power slam, power slam.
Yeah.
And then for the rest of the night, Seth's
he
trying to
sell
recover.
His ribs.
Oh my God. Here's some more tape. Now it goes up to my nips. Oh,
now it's
no.
Super. I can only do two dives now. Yeah. However will I win?
He'll come out looking like Pudsey the Bear from Children in Need with an eye patch. And then, yeah, that puts Seth at a massive disadvantage for the Braun Strowman title match. That's just off the top of my head. But, like I also said, off the top of my head was where I thought this episode of Raw's storyline was going. Ha ha, I've seen this before. Seth and Braun are obviously set for the Universal Championship match at a pay-per-view. They're facing the Raw Tag Team Champions here. They're going to combust. Braun's going to turn on Seth. That's going to be the start of their feud. I'm so thankful now that they didn't.
This is way more interesting. Mm. Way, way more interesting. And I think this storyline only works because we're heading to Clash of Champions. It wouldn't have worked heading into Hell in a Cell. It works because at Clash Champions, all the titles have to be defended. And so, yeah, so I think it works really nicely going into that show.
It makes me more excited for the pay-per-view.
Yes!
Because of the pay-per-view's gimmick. Yeah.
Exactly. I think it's a bit of a stroke of genius, really, because, you know, as I said, we've seen the warring partners before, and it's never really been that interesting. This, for me, is one of the first times in 20 years, I'd say, that this has actually been an interesting direction for the warring partners.
Totally, totally. So this was set up earlier in the night when it was just Braun Strowman versus AJ Styles, a match that was set up after the main event angle of the previous week. And even this, like, by the way, Raw was fantastic.
Oh, it's freaking great this week.
And this is like 5 weeks now of bloody solid WWE.
It's been such a joy to watch.
And it's been getting incrementally better.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's after Extreme Rules, there was an immediate switch. And you're like, ah, that was a pretty enjoyable show compared to the last 4 months. This is the best. Raw's been in ages. I think we even ran with one of those titles, Best Raw in Years. And then each week, SmackDown's been a bit better. Raw's been a bit better. SummerSlam was really, really enjoyable.
Even though we're in the minority on that.
Yeah. Last week's Raw was fantastic.
Yeah.
This week's Raw was just if you've got an average level of quality that's very enjoyable every week, even this was beyond that.
And, you know, you could probably, you can easily point fingers at things that didn't work. Like, oh, Natalya cut a bad promo. But, like, you know, it's a day that ends in Y. Like, she's about to cut a bad promo. And I don't think it was a great follow-up to the Sasha stuff. But overall, the show was so good that I don't really mind.
I think if you're still going, oh, WWE, it's so rubbish, and you've been watching the last 5 weeks of TV, I think you're not going to be happy with WWE ever.
Ever. Yeah.
And you just, like, probably wait for an alternative.
You can't be sports entertained.
But yeah, this Braun AJ match, it only went 3 minutes. Let's be honest, it was an angle more than it was a match. But the physicality when they were going up against each other, I loved.
Yeah, really, really funny. Because it was, like, I loved AJ trying to, like, chop down the big tree and it didn't work. And he was just like, uh-oh, now what do I do? And he goes through the phenomenal forearm and just goes, swat out the air. It was really, really fun stuff.
How about no? Crazy flying bastard. So Gallows and Anderson run in and they start beating up Braun. And that brings Seth down, which was, you know, a really nice mirror image to the previous week. And Braun, this is what I liked a lot. Braun was losing.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't usually Strowman just, monster, fight off the two people anyway. But they did a very good job of making Gallows seem on, not on Strowman's level,
yeah,
but someone that can cause,
in the same ballpark,
Strowman difficulties. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so Seth ran down for the save. And another sign of how well this is working, how well this is being booked, Seth got cheered.
Oh, yeah, he got a lot. Massive, massive pop for this. And then they clear house, and there's a really nice moment where they look at each other and they're like, yeah, we're cool dudes, man. And they shake hands, and Seth's like, he shook my hand, yeah! That's my Seth Rollins impersonation. And
John!
Yeah, and Braun won't let go. And there's this moment of realization where Seth's like, he's still got hold of my hand, and he's really shaking it. And I thought it was actually some really good acting from both guys.
Yeah.
And they then told the story later in the show. It's like, look, I know what we want. I know you want a title match, and we're going to sort that out. But first, we need to sort out Gallows and Anderson. We've got some scores to settle with them. So let's have a tag title match later. And then they have a backstage meeting where Seth's like, follow my lead, Braun. And it's again, my Rollins and
John.
And it's like, well, just, you know, follow my lead and we'll be fine. And Braun's like, well, follow my lead and we'll be fine. And it was like some tension between them to make you think, oh, they're not going to get along. And then they had their match. It's like, no, these two got along famously. And it was pretty rad.
Famously. I like how in that backstage locker room chat, Seth's talking to Braun. He's looking right at him. Braun is just looking at the title behind them. Like, he's not even being subtle about it.
I was going to say, I put over Seth's acting in the first segment, but Braun's acting throughout this was not subtle in the least.
I don't care. It suited the gimmick perfectly.
He was just staring at the title. At the end of the show, when they're holding it aloft, remember when they did this with Gargano and Ciampa. You get that little sly little look to the title, and that crowd, you're, oh, and he looked at the title. That's where they're going with this next. Braun literally goes, a boom, to look at the title as Seth's holding it up.
The best version of that ever is Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage, the year before they, you know,
the Mega Powers exploded.
And they're both celebrating. Hulk Hogan lifts up Ms. Elizabeth, and Randy's like, yeah, we won, you know. What the? But it's like this just 2 second flash of, oh brother.
Oh brother.
And then he like puts her down. And then that took a year to pay off. Brilliant. But Seth having the idea of challenging them for the Raw Tag Team titles, it's such good babyface booking of a character that they must know that Seth needs some rebuilding after how he's had the whole failed Becky Lynch on screen romance.
Yeah, totally.
And the sort of stuff he said on Twitter, just by the fact of, here's Bret Hart putting him over.
Yeah.
Here's Steve Austin via Skype putting him over.
I thought that's what Booker T was here to do, in all fairness.
But that, like, that sometimes when you just book people in the right way, it gets over.
Yeah, and Seth's a really good baby face.
Yeah.
And we want to like Seth. He's just not made it easy on himself for the last month or so.
But then it had the main event. And the actual match, I thought, was very, very exciting.
Yeah, and the crowd was so into this as well. Bear in mind, it's end of third hour Raw. The crowd are usually a little bit down at this point. But you're in the ring there with Seth and Braun versus Gallows and Anderson, who've been built so well over the last 2 months that it felt like a really big time match. And the crowd reacted to it like it was a big time match.
And we'll talk about it in the larger review when we get to the play-by-play. But again, the in-ring style of wrestling felt different. It felt more modern. It felt less standard WWE. I really think there's been a conscious change of direction backstage to let's start wrestling in a more modern style. Not completely modern, but yeah. This is a lot more akin to Ring of Honor. And it's a middle ground between the two. It's more like an NXT style, I'd say.
I can't imagine why.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've no idea why. What's that new show going on USA Network?
I don't know. Some t-shirt company have got a show.
They're putting NXT up onto USA Network. No reason. Yeah. No reason why. I think I'm sure it was the plan all along.
It's about time.
Yeah, it's about time. Yeah.
Oh, you made me forget what I was talking about.
Sorry, mate. This is like on the Saturday show I said touching knobs.
Yes,
and then couldn't think of anything.
I just couldn't think of anything else other than touching knobs. But the in-ring style of wrestling wasn't just work over, work over, work over. Hot tag like it usually is with WWE tag team matches. It did turn into that, but they did enough swerves where Braun Strowman was obviously being set up for the hot tag, but then he went for AJ outside and took him out. And it was a great bit of camera work where... you can't see Braun, and Braun hasn't been hot tagged in, but he just runs out of nowhere, takes out AJ Styles on the outside, and then gets him, does his like funny tiny step running man thing. Mm-hmm. It was a very exciting match.
It really was, and as the crowd went absolutely wild for the finish, when the crowd realised we're going to get a title switch here, they really started to amp up, and I really enjoyed the finish as well. Braun gave Gallows the power slam, AJ was crawling through to break it up and cause the DQ, which Gallows and Anderson had done earlier in the night. Seth from out of nowhere stomps AJ into the earth, Braun pins Gallows, no, Anderson rather, and they win the titles and they lost them. Crowd got nuts. Braun gets up with like a Bruh! We won, rips his t-shirt. It felt like a big, big time celebration, like they won titles that matter. And really the Raw titles don't matter at all, but they made it feel like they do matter, and that's important because then you as a viewer think, oh, maybe they are titles that do mean something.
Yeah, Seth's no Nicholas, sure.
No, absolutely not.
It's going away. And the shots of the crowd, like there were two guys in particular that were just jumping up and down. You know, adults. They were totally invested in this story. It was a good crowd all night, actually.
Great crowd all night.
Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yes. It was, yeah.
Sport Wrestled Talk t-shirt in the front row.
Oh, was there?
Yeah, did you not see that guy?
Oh, no, us.
Yeah.
Well done. I think he even got in touch, didn't he? He said, I'm going to a show.
He did indeed, yeah. Dig, diggity, dog.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
We
but now we've got to thank our $25 a month or more pledge hammers on Patreon, who this week get to enjoy NXT TakeOver Brooklyn as a full, what, 3 hour review?
It's about 2 hours 40, yeah, 2 hours 50, I think, of me and Ollie talking about NXT TakeOver Brooklyn from 2015, which features, I think we are in agreement, the best women's match in WWE history.
Sasha
Banks versus Bayley for the NXT Women's Championship. Finn Balor versus Kevin Owens in a ladder match for the NXT Championship. And an incredibly fun tag match between the Vaudevillains and Blake and Buddy Murphy for the tag titles. What a load of fun. With Alexa Bliss as a manager, because that's what they saw her as at the time. Very, very fun show.
So head over to Patreon now to get involved in that, and you can listen to the exclusive podcast there. But for the meantime, thank you very much. Arnie K, the K stands for the coolest dude ever.
There he is, yeah. Red Ranger, Jason Ayala.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Raz the Man Reality.
Reality.
Yeah, love stuff.
Xandermania.
It is reality.
Running Wild.
Yeah.
What shirt are you wearing today?
And there he is, T-Rex Joseph Calmarin.
Yeah.
All right, see you soon.
Girls on Film, Erica Duran.
There she is, lovely stuff.
Alex the Rojas Johnson.
Oh, yeah. Nice, I like it.
Nice.
Marcus, he's got soul, Campbell. Bracket, it's a football joke.
Right.
There it is.
Awesome.
Thank you, Andy.
Former UFC champion, Steve Ortiz.
Oh, yes.
Whoa. Barely Average Gaming.
Barely Average. Describe Screen Stalker. Tyler Sand Bo Selector.
Bo.
Don't have a Shane Cowley, man.
Don't have a Shane Cowley, man.
Ooh. Roman Maleva.
Oh, you are indeed. Just a two-ball guy. Matt Rivera.
Yes. And finally, the Titan, Owen Towers.
Nice. Oh, there it is.
Yes.
Tim Arndt comes in to say, do you guys think that this Rollins Strowman storyline will be like the Cena Michaels storyline back in 2007?
To be honest, you could have put Cena blank and it would have made the exact same question. It's the warring partner. So yeah, it is the same storyline. But I think this is better because it is leading into a pay-per-view where that's the gimmick.
Yeah. Derek Ayala says, I haven't super chatted in a while, so I hope this makes up for it. I enjoyed Vic on commentary. How about you guys? He made the matches more entertaining, IMO. Thank you, Fiend, for making that happen. Take care, guys.
Yeah, it was an interesting dynamic, wasn't it? Where Michael Cole sort of became more of a colour commentator.
Mm.
And Vic Joseph was more straight play-by-play. I like Vic Joseph, but to me, that any thrill of having him on commentary was more, it's a fresh voice.
Yeah,
I don't feel he added much more than just, it's different.
Yeah, that I'd agree with that.
Because it's all WWE produced.
Well, it seems the chat disagrees with you because Bucky the Ace Ventura says, can Vic Joseph please take over Cole's role?
Yeah, I would like that too. But then after a while, Vic Joseph would just be like Tom Phillips.
Exactly. And it's always worth remembering that Michael Cole produces NXT and 205 Live commentary. So Michael Cole knows what people want to sound like. It's just that he's produced to be a certain way. So if Vic Joseph takes over the Michael Cole role, Vic Joseph will just sound like Michael Cole.
Small Afro Games, a.k.a. Jaron Walker, says, is The Miz a future Hall of Famer?
Of course he is.
Yeah.
He's one of the great. He's one of the greatest of all time.
He main evented WrestleMania. And Hall of Fame
means nothing.
It just means nothing.
Everyone's going to go into the Hall of Fame eventually.
Tomo comes in.
Tomo.
Say, hello, boys. Guess who's beaten their bronchitis and is now fully healthy? Happy birthday, Pete. Love everybody here.
Glad you're feeling better, Tomo.
Thanks, Tomo. Short Kid Gamer says, what do you think about WWE changing The Fiend? That was a report, supposedly.
Yeah, Bray's shot that down to say that it's not true. I don't know where the original story came from.
I think we're all so worried because it's so good.
Yeah.
And usually WWE screws that stuff up.
Yeah.
So we're just all very concerned.
It's like, it's funny, you go to WWE's announcement that NXT is going to be on the USA Network and every reply is, please don't screw this up, Vince. Yeah. Don't let Vince near it. Don't screw this up.
New Tops 4 says, I guess we've already covered this, but thoughts on the commentary. No Graves was amazing, and it felt different not hearing Cole as much.
Yeah, it felt different, yeah. But, you know, overall, it was still a WWE commentary team, which is of a certain level of quality, I think.
The only time I noticed that Corey Graves wasn't on commentary was when Alexa Bliss and Mandy Rose came out. It was the only time I noticed that he wasn't there, because that's when he becomes a character.
Mm.
Robert Banker says, let's start the chant. Thank you, Heyman.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably one of the main things. Vince McMahon wasn't at the show, reportedly. This was run by Triple H, Paul Heyman and Kevin Dunn.
But Meltzer did say that Vince is all, like, even when he's not there, he's still running the show because he just does it via the phone.
But there's a very marked difference from when Heyman reportedly was given the book backstage after, or just shortly before Extreme Rules, but it seemed to go into full effect afterwards.
Danny Lum says, the Fiend's attacks are getting predictable. Would love to see him attack current stars or make an NXT appearance to show he can't be controlled.
I didn't see it coming.
I was going to say, it's funny people keep saying it's predictable, but the first thing you said today was like, didn't see the Fiend coming at all. And I didn't see him coming in that segment either, because I thought that Sasha Banks was such a big story from last week. They were going to do the Jerry Lawler Sasha Banks segment.
Yeah.
So I thought, it was pretty unpredictable. I liked it.
And finally for now, before we get into the main show, Aaron says, how long can WWE keep this up? I'm a 20-year fan, and whenever I stop watching, they get better. As soon as they come back, they get worse. I'm cursed.
Yeah, so don't watch is the pattern there, and then we can all enjoy it for you.
Yeah, thanks, Aaron.
Yeah.
If you wouldn't mind.
But seriously, I don't know. Every week, I'm like, well, it's going to get crap next week. Enjoy it while we've got it right now. So I guess it will last as long as Vince McMahon tolerates Paul Heyman.
Yeah, that is it. Yeah, so as long as or until he goes off to do the XFL next year, and maybe it'll last even longer. Maybe once Heyman gets the full control, or if he gets full control, then that's when it'll all fall apart, and maybe Heyman gets too much control. Who knows? Honestly, who knows? Let's just enjoy it while it's here.
Yeah, or maybe it lasts until AEW, you know, folds or wins.
Yeah.
You know, maybe WWE are just finally, because they've certainly got enough talent, certainly got enough writers.
Literally all the talent.
Yeah. So they should be putting on this level of product.
Yeah.
Right, so Raw as a whole began with Jerry the King Lawler on commentary. And because, what was there a reason given that Corey wasn't around?
I don't recall.
On assignment, usually?
Yeah, I don't recall one being said. He was just there. Because it was when they announced King's Court was happening this week, I was like, are they in Memphis again?
That's what I said.
But no, he was just there to do commentary, and so he could then be beaten up by the Fiend.
Mm. But they played this really good soap opera video package of Roman Reigns and the mystery of attackers so far. And Reigns came out. He looked rejuvenated. He came out, he was roaring.
You're talking about Roman?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he felt like it, because recently he's been walking out looking a bit confused, I feel.
Probably because he doesn't know what show he's supposed to be part of.
Yeah, Wildcard.
Well, that's it. The Wildcard made a return this week. Michael Cole said it numerous times, but only in reference to the New Day. Everyone else, I don't know if they were a Wildcard.
Well, Ziggler is a Raw star, I think.
Yes.
Reigns is a SmackDown star.
Yes.
There's one.
Because we thought that Dolph was a SmackDown star until there was that episode of SmackDown when he had Raw names.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, so he's been a wild card this whole time.
So speaking of Dolph Ziggler, Ziggler comes out here and I said it at SummerSlam. I said, I think he's onto something. I can't believe it after the decade plus of start, stop pushing and me saying numerous times, that's it. He can't come back from this. He's over.
Yep.
He's onto something here.
It is a fun little gimmick. I don't know if he's onto something, but I am enjoying it. It's not like my favorite thing on the show, but I'm enjoying him more than I was 4 weeks ago.
Well, I just loved, if it was just a promo bit, because he had some great lines here. He said stuff like, I thought we had to wait 6 months between spears. I didn't know the rules about the Goldberg match. That's a good line. And he also said, Maurice's husband beat me with Ric Flair's move.
Yes, I like the fact he wouldn't say The Miz. I wasn't beaten by The Miz. I was beaten by Maurice's husband. And it's about Roman Reigns and things like that. Thomas West had actually got in touch on Patreon to also agree and says, can you help me? I think I like Dolph again.
I know, right? And then Okay, so that's the thing. You just have these fun promo bits, get some heat from the crowd, and you beat them pretty quickly with a spear or two. And you get your comeuppance, and then you go, 'tis but a flesh wound. But then he just used that promo to get close to Roman and hit this super kick mid-sentence out of nowhere. Great. It was really well done. And that started a big move back and forth match with Roman.
This was a really fun match.
Hell of an opener.
Yeah, hell of an opening match. Really, really fun. Because I thought when Roman came down, I thought Roman was coming out for a promo. And I was a bit like, oh, okay, this is how we're starting the show then. But no, instead we started off with this really hot action. And I very much enjoyed it.
Yeah, there were so many good spots. So many good near falls. Roman ran outside at one point to do a Superman punch off of the steel steps. Dolph dodged it. Roman bounced off the barricade, zigzag on the outside. Was a
kickouts of the zigzag, kickouts of the famouser, kickouts of the Superman punch. It made it sort of this big fight feel. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I loved it. And I think this is a new Paul Heyman trick where you start off with a big move. You know,
because we got it later on with Cesaro Joe as well.
You got it with Goldberg and Ziggler. You got it with Seth and Brock. You know, you start off with a finisher and then you just go from there.
Yeah.
An opener.
I like. There was a moment during this match where King says, man, you want to stay clear of Ziggler's elbow drops.
Heart stopping.
I think you did say, those will stop your heart.
Yeah. Well, you know, that was a huge, big tick for me, this opening segment. Yeah. I thought it was a great match. And as much as we're talking about Ziggler here, Reigns has had two fantastic matches in the space of a week.
Here's this is not a spoiler. Roman Reigns is a very good professional wrestler.
So after this, we get the reason the King's on the show, really. It's Sasha Banks, and he's going to interview her in a King's Court segment about why her hair changed colour last week. And he's in the ring, and he says, well, it would be amiss for me to not talk about King of the Ring. And he's going through the brackets. This is the first time they've been shown on screen. He starts to give his picks. Cedric, Alexander, and Ricochet for Raw.
That's who he's picking for Raw, and he goes, and then for SmackDown, and he's about to SmackDown, all of a sudden, ka-chung. Ka-chung, the lights started to go out. I actually really liked Michael Cole because Michael Cole was like, Jerry, get out of there. Screaming, Jerry, get out of there. And Lawler's like, well, I know what this is. I'm getting out of here. I'm not sticking around for this.
I thought it made it more realistic. He was like, I'm going.
Yeah, I'm going. I'm not going to stand here and wonder, why are the lights going out? I was like, no, I'm leaving.
Yeah. And when that first ja-jung light went off, I got... My heart rate elevated.
Yeah, I was like, the Fiend's here.
But it was sort of a nervous excitement, like, oh no, Jerry. But also, yay, the Fiend. that's what The Undertaker's massive dong does to me.
Yeah.
When I hear that, when it hits my face.
Or chung, chung, chung.
That they're onto something with the packaging of The Fiend.
I think they are as well. I really like this. We also kind of skipped as well. Becky cut a promo earlier in the day, sort of straight to camera, where she said that she's interested to hear from Sasha, but she said that she wants to fight the best. 4 months ago, Sasha ran away from this company because her career was as cold as ice. What did I do? I got as hot as anything. Survivor Series. And then she goes, what did you do with your whinging holiday?
Yeah.
Nothing. I became the cover star for WWE 2K20. I thought it was some good stuff for Becky. I thought she actually had a really, really good promo. It was believable. It felt like it wasn't written for her. It felt like she was involved in the writing of it. I really liked this promo.
Yeah, it had a semi-shoot element to it. Of course, The Fiend attacked Jerry Lawler on the ramp. And Michael Cole's screaming, someone help him. And you're like, You're right there, Michael Cole.
You do something, Michael Cole.
And then the Fiend just disappears.
Yeah, and then a crowd of chanting Yowie Wowie.
Yeah.
Lovely stuff.
And that's when we get 205 Live's Vic Joseph.
Yes.
As replacing the King on commentary.
Who did a fine job.
Yes, yeah.
He did a fine job.
He's a fresh voice.
Yeah.
I'm glad everyone liked him so much. He's a very good commentator.
He's a very, very good commentator. If I am going to be Captain Cynical for this show, at least something that I didn't like, the goddamn cape and crown are there. And the scepter and the throne. Don't like it.
Have a nice big Mario Kart trophy.
And if it's a Mario Kart trophy is the best way to describe it. I want it to be a big, ludicrous trophy that is bejazzled with lots of different things. I don't want goofy, stupid thrones and crowns and scepters, because then you've got the commentators going like, and that's what it's all about. it's all about the crown and scepter. I'm like, it really shouldn't be about a crown and scepter.
Yeah, we haven't had anything announced insofar as Universal Championship shots being at stake.
So it is just for a crown and scepter.
What do you think about it being for the just a stupid crown chopper?
I mean, crowns are good.
For reference, Ollie did that because Pete wasn't wearing the crown and his mic wasn't turned on. So he wanted to panic him. That's wrong bullying.
No, that was fun. That wasn't bullying. It's hazing.
He succeeded in making me panic.
Next up, we got the sort of... I like this. This was an out-of-tournament King of the Ring match.
Really. Here are the other four people that are on the Raw side of King of the Ring that aren't in their first round matches this week to set up their first round matches next week. Very much like this. A really fun way to have a tag match.
Yeah, Ricochet and The Miz taking on Drew McIntyre.
No. Oh, and it was Drew McIntyre. So I've written Sami Zayn. I think it's because I was guessing who it was. And then I've written down the wrong names.
So taking on our boy, hasn't been seen since Extreme Rules, Baron Corbin.
Yeah, Baron Corbin, who partway through this match got so tired of wearing the shirt, took it off and just had a vest underneath, instantly looked so much better.
I liked that he did that through the action as opposed to just coming out in a vest.
Yeah.
Because now that should just be his look. He doesn't look as good as he could do, especially because we rewatched NXT TakeOver Brooklyn recently and that had the lone wolf Baron Corbin on there. It's a great look.
Yeah.
It's a great look. It's great entrance music.
Problem is he can't get abs. And if you can't get abs, Vince don't let you wrestle without a t-shirt on. But yeah, hey, man, the mid-card of Evil back together once again and it feels so good.
Yeah, well, this did feel good though because Drew wasn't Baron's lackey.
Nope.
It was, and this was, again, a fun in-ring match. What happened with the red light?
I think it was from someone's entrance and they just didn't turn it off.
There was a red wash of lighting on the ring. And for a moment, I was like, oh, God, King of the Ring matches are going to be washed in red lighting, like Sin Cara's blue matches.
God, you remember that?
Yeah.
And because I thought that as well, because they had all like the purple round the ring. Like they changed the LED board to be the King of the Ring. The poles became purple for King of the Ring. And I was like, oh, no, it's a big gimmick thing. Mm. But no, I think it was just a lighting error. And then they changed that quite quickly. So, phew.
But yeah, the in-ring style was much more back and forth. I really like the finish, where Ricochet is in the corner, Corbin's running at him, but Miz pulls Ricochet out the way, and that allows Ricochet to get the win.
Yeah, he hits the recoil for the win, which is his little sort of codebreaker style move.
Then Michael Cole takes a Skype call.
Well, actually, before then, we've got a promo for Matt Riddle versus Killian Dane on NXT this week, and then they announce Sasha Banks is ready for her interview. Bear in mind, this is in hour one, and her interview does not come for a long, long time. But she was shown sat in the chair, ready for the interview.
Miking up.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, we got Booker T on Skype. So apparently, Skyping with legends is a new thing we're doing.
Surely, they've got a product placement deal with Skype.
It has to be.
I can't see why this...
Yeah,
because it has Booker T didn't have a show to promote.
No, this is definitely a deal with Skype, where you've got to Skype people and show you how good the quality is. Mm.
But he didn't put over Seth Rollins.
Of the video, I don't mean the interview.
Yeah, he was like, oh, I'm worried about Jerry. But I'm picking Drew McIntyre to win.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad. Yeah.
Yeah. He mentioned Harley Race, so I'm sure Dave Meltzer had something to say about that on Wrestling Observer Radio.
It wasn't bad. Yeah. Well done, WWE. Then we got the Braun Strowman AJ match that we've already talked about that set up the tag team main event. Then we got our first official King of the Ring tournament match.
Yes.
Samoa Joe versus Cesaro.
Yeah.
That's hard hitting.
Fun this was.
Cesaro got a lot of this, which is what I enjoyed so much. It's one of those matches where both guys come out looking better than they did before, even though one of them lost.
It was the best first round match this week.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, by quite some way.
By so much.
Yeah.
I want to say I love Cesaro's presentation at the moment.
Oh yeah,
I love the sports like
tracksuit
thing that he has. Like the music, I just think he's got a really cool presentation about him. I'm really digging it at the moment. I wish he'd get a push off the back of it, but I just really like it.
I loved how at the start of the match, Joe is kind of prepping in the corner. He's kind of just looking off to the right, but Cesaro is so focused when they're doing the ring introductions, King of the Ring tournament, and Cesaro's jumping up and down like he can't wait to get going.
Yeah.
Ding, 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 runs straight over there. Joe's still looking away. Uppercut.
Yeah.
Just like the Dolph match, the Goldberg match, the Seth Rollins-Brock Lesnar match. Big move to start things off. And then you're in.
And then you're in.
As opposed to... look up.
Once again, Michael Cole said this is the best tournament in sports entertainment history. Just a nice little caveat there of sports entertainment history. I really, really like this. Joe did this dive onto Cesaro and hit him so hard that like Cesaro fell into the first row. It was really, really cool stuff. That boot to the face that Cesaro did on Joe, bloody hell, took some teeth out.
Yeah, they did a replay of that. Maybe that should be Cesaro's gimmick, the teeth collector,
yeah.
Seeing that he's got to wear a brace. This was just really good. There was a slight botch where Cesaro tried to suplex Joe, couldn't get him up first time.
Yeah.
But that almost made it feel more real, because then Cesaro did get him up.
Yeah.
And I know we often criticize wrestlers for just doing the same spot yeah. over again, but here it made sense.
Yes.
And I felt like, good grief, you're very strong.
And you can repeat spots like that because it's a suplex. You know, you drop him on the suplex, you're like, oh, okay, well, I'm just going to lift you up this time round. It's when you're doing, like, running against the ropes and doing tilt-a-whirl hurricane runners that you watch the first time, and you're like, well, let's just try that again. That's when it becomes a bit more staged.
Contrived.
Contrived, a better word, yeah.
Cesaro got the swing into a sharpshooter, and then sort of, kind of like Joe does, into the crossface, switching between those submissions.
Yep.
But it was a submission that was his downfall, as Samoa Joe hooked in the Kikina clutch.
Yeah. Crucially, as he was going for the uppercut, which was Cesaro's first move in the match, Joe saw this one coming and caught him in that. Caught the uppercut into the clutch and got the win. Good TV match. Great TV match.
Solid tournament entry.
Yeah.
This is a very, very watchable, very enjoyable first round. That means in the next round, you can go even bigger.
Exactly.
And you can escalate.
Escalate the drama up into the finals.
After this, we got a recap of Elias in the studio over the weekend.
Before that, can I mention how much Vic Joseph towers over Michael Cole?
He's a tall lad.
He is a tall, tall man. Yeah. So when they're all standing up, because like Graves is about the same height as Cole, so you don't really notice it. But Vic Joseph looks about like he's 10 foot tall standing next to Michael Cole.
That's like a bit lurchy.
It's a bit. But yeah, we've got Elias in the recording studio. Drake is pretending to be a music guy or something, and so he tries to schoolboy him, but Elias beats him up.
Doesn't just beat him up, like he kicks his ass.
Oh yeah. He beat him up like good. Like he wasn't taking no rubbish.
It was weird because the camera started off in the same room as them, and then Elias drags Drake Maverick into another room, which is on the soundproof side, into the control room. So you just hear, well, you don't hear anything, you just see this silent image of Elias kicking Drake's carcass.
Yeah, his carcass on the floor.
It was actually very violent.
Yeah.
But it seemed quite cartoony. It was very well done, I thought.
So then we got Elias in the ring, and there were some mic issues, and I thought this might have been part of a gimmick, but we got a live report from someone who said that this was just an error. It wasn't a gimmicked mic problem.
I think you're being worked, brother. It looked like it played into R-Truth turning up and everything. He was like, I need a different guitar.
Well, that's
slid him a guitar.
Well, no, he needed a different guitar because it was out of tune.
Yeah, and that played into.
Well, that's what I thought. But the report that we got, I mean, I'm not saying I'm being.
I'm saying they're being.
Okay, I'm saying that the report that we got said that it was very loud and very annoying, and didn't sound like it was on purpose. But okay. I thought it was on purpose.
Yeah.
Initially.
Well, Elias is suffering audio issues, and his guitar's out of tune. Asks for another guitar. This guy slides it in. He's sort of in a big hood. It's R-Truth. There's another audio technician as the referee, and yeah.
Yeah, and Elias beat him up as well.
Yeah, even though R-Truth got his, what's the scissor kick?
He just hits the scissor kick.
Yeah.
He gets two roll-ups and the scissor kicks, and Elias kicks out of both of them. So I'm guessing we're getting R-Truth and Drake Maverick are going to team up together. You know, bitter enemies over the 24/7 title have got to come together to fight a common bad that they can then get the title off of, so they can then go back to having fun switching it back and forth again.
I liked how they're toning down the 24/7 title stuff. I'm done watching the whole undercard run round the ring and all that nonsense. It was fun when it was happening first, but we've moved past that now. Mm. And we've actually got a champion who can withstand a schoolboy.
Oh, well, you know, which is the most devastating move in the 24/7 picture.
After this, back to Charlie Caruso backstage, wearing her most luminous dress. And she's talking to Rey Mysterio about Rey Mysterio being rubbish and ugly and stupid.
You've lost a lot.
Yeah, and Rey agrees. He said, the injuries are finally starting to catch up with me. And it's time to retire. And he starts to take off his mask. Yeah. But then Eddie Guerrero's Dominic comes in.
Eddie Guerrero's son Dominic walks in and be like,
so close.
No, stepdad. Don't do this. And and actually, I thought the Rey's performance here was quite good. He's like holding back the tears. Mm. He's like, you know, trying to like cut that sort of promo. And then Dominic comes in and then says, hey, you told me that when I started wrestling, my first match would be tag teaming with you. And I want to be able to tell my kids, your grandkids, that I was a tag team with the great Rey Mysterio. So don't retire just yet. And Rey's like, I'll do it for you, son.
Yeah, and they're touching heads.
I'll do it for you, Eddie, son.
It was very emotional, actually. And all of a sudden, I'm hooked in quite a big way to this storyline, even though the acting I thought was bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Dominic
I thought Ray's acting was bad, too.
Well, I thought Rey was... Actually, I quite liked Rey. I thought Dominic wasn't as good.
Yeah, but sometimes I want... You know, this is a real father and son relationship thing. The story's good enough. I can look past that.
Yeah.
And Dominic's totally turning heel. He's going to beat his dad down.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's fun as well because you can build to the Good Brothers get the titles back at Clash of Champions, and then you build to Rey and Dominic going for the titles, say at Survivor Series or Hell in a Cell or what have you. And that's when you can have Dominic turning heel on Rey and debuting as this new heel character, Dom Mysterio.
I'll let you talk about the next bit because you loved it so hard.
What was the next bit?
New Day versus Revival.
Did I love this so hard?
Yeah, because it turned into the...
Oh, right. Yes, you're right. This actually was my favourite of the show. I forgot the match. To be honest, I actually forgot they had a match. I just remember the post-match stuff, which was the bit I'm most interested in. But actually, credit to Woods as well. Woods was selling the promo. It was wiping tears away from his eyes while he was making his entrance.
Yeah.
That's nice. Big interconnected universe. Mm. And that was really good stuff. But yeah, New Day were here to take on the Revival. Michael Cole put this over as wild card action. And they recapped Orton laying out New Day last week on SmackDown, which means that it is an important angle because it's getting replayed on Raw.
Yeah, that never happens.
No. Anyway, this, again, was a match just to be there to set up an angle that happened afterwards because all of a sudden, Randy Orton gets in from nowhere and RKO's Big E.
A great RKO from out of nowhere.
Oh, it really was.
Big E is setting up his dive through the ropes onto the guy on the apron, which always looks death-defying. And the camera's positioned perfectly where he bounces off the far ropes, comes back. And Randy Orton, it sounds like such a cliche, but from out of nowhere, RKOs him. And the crowd seemed like they saw it the same time as we did.
The crowd didn't see him get out of the ring or from wherever he was and pop for it massively. It was a really well done angle. It was a really well done shot.
And you know what? There was a lot of good camera work like that. Not all the camera work was good. I thought the Banks Natalya beatdown later on was a bit, you know, motion sicky. But overall, someone saying to Kevin Dunn, nah, let's just pair this back a bit.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's working very well.
Let's take a step back.
Or maybe that's what Kevin Dunn wants to do. He wants to do these huge Western static shots of slowly panning, but Vince is like, no, cross-cut it more.
Yeah.
Make them squat.
Why aren't the cameras bouncing up and down like they're on a horse? Last week, we had a super chat in on the SmackDown review that said, Randy Orton Revival Faction. And you and I both said, no, I'm not really into that idea. Don't think Randy really needs seconds. And the Revival, being in a team with Randy Orton would just make them feel like less of a star because they're in with Randy Orton. And Randy Orton will always just be the big sort of like, he'll outshine them, unfortunately, because that's the way that Randy Orton is positioned. But I thought this is pretty terrific. And I thought these three working together was pretty awesome, actually.
And it was always there, because what was on their boots, Luke? What were their boots made
out of? They were wearing snakeskin boots in honour of Randy Orton.
That was a great bit of commentary.
I loved that. Such a nice little touch.
That out.
And so they beat up the New Day, and Kofi runs down to make the save. Not sure if he's a wild card, but he got beaten up for his troubles regardless. And then they hit like this assisted RKO. They did the Shatter Machine into an RKO, which is absolutely awesome. Like, what a wicked little finisher that is.
It was like a three-person 3D.
Yeah. And then they set up Woods to do, and they haven't done this in so long. They're not since NXT, really, where they get the leg vine in and then get one of them to jump off and break the leg. And Randy, they're about to set this up on Woods, and Randy stops them and goes like, no, lads, not just yet. And he goes around and he grabs Kofi, drags him, lifts up his head and makes him watch as they break the legs of his brother, Xavier Woods. Kofi sells it brilliantly. Xavier Woods is screaming his head off when they hit it. It felt so vicious of a beatdown. And then those three got in the ring and they posed. And I thought they looked awesome. This was my favorite thing on the show.
It was really, really good. Really good. And you know why? Because this isn't about Kofi's kids and wife, who are barely on screen, and I don't really have a connection to. It's about Kofi and Xavier. It's about the New Day partnership that I'm really invested in.
A family dynamic I actually buy into.
Exactly. Yeah, so I'm glad they've taken that route now.
Well, wait till SmackDown. He might be really upset because his kids were watching at home.
So that's my only thing here is, presumably this is going to set up an Orton versus Randy. Vince's wet dream.
WWE's dream match.
An Orton versus Kingston rematch for Clash of Champions. You've got another 3 weeks, really, to build to that. Shouldn't this be an angle on SmackDown?
Well, you know, they've got to have SmackDown so they can cut promos in videos and not be on the show at all.
But that's very, very nitpicking.
It does feel like this feud has been booked in reverse, though. Because the way that Kofi and Randy were acting at SummerSlam felt like it was coming off the back of these two angles, as opposed to we had some promos.
Yeah. I mean, just the fact that you say this is your favorite thing of the show, but I think anyone could have an argument to say the Reigns-Ziggler match was their favorite thing on the show. Or
the title change.
The Fiend, or the title change. Yeah. How good this show was.
A lot of stuff to be interested in. I wasn't as keen on the next segment, though.
Oh, yeah?
No. So Michael Cole did an interview with Sasha Banks, and Sasha said that it's an emotional week because she had to make a decision on her hair color. Maybe it's just because I wanted the boss back.
Mm.
This, to me, wasn't the boss.
This
was a cartoon villain, and I think Sasha Banks is better than being a cartoon villain.
Yeah. Well, it started off like she was trying to be nice, and then at the end she was just like, you're welcome. And that was a bit bossy.
Yeah, that was. But the bit at the start where you're doing the nice, psych, I'm still a heel.
Yeah.
It's so played out. It never really gets as much heat as when Alexa did it that one time. And it was cartoony villain.
Yeah, I see what you mean. I'm just being optimistic, I guess, where I think they're starting with that and they're morphing into the more boss-like character.
That's what I'm
hoping. Especially with the Natalya segment later.
Yeah.
Then third hour fatigue set in.
This is one of the downsides I would say to Paul Heyman's reign in charge of Raw so far is there feels like there's less focus on women's wrestling, which very much feels like a Paul Heyman thing, because this was our only women's match on the card and it felt very unimportant. And that's not unique to this show. I just feel that that's a very Paul Heyman thing.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's valid. Yeah. The match here was Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss versus Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose. It's like, this was a great episode of Raw, but we haven't said it in a while. 3 hours is too long for a weekly wrestling show.
It was. Bliss was a babyface this week for those keeping score.
Just normal, frustrating. This wasn't terrible, and Sonya's always good to watch.
Sonya's amazing.
And I liked how Nikki Cross was always snapping at the action. Even if she was on the apron, she'd be like trying to get a shot in somewhere. But when she's in the ring, she's also running to take out the other team on the apron.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't really care about this.
No.
The crowd were a bit bored.
They didn't care at all. No. Yeah, Bliss and Cross won.
Then we got the Braun-Seth backstage bit. And then, unfortunately, I was ready to be very into Cedric Alexander versus Sami Zayn.
Oh, yeah.
The second King of the Ring tournament match. But we also got a disappointing... It's like, you know, by usual Raw standards, Cedric's getting pushed. Well, hey. But by this show's standards, and the precedent set by Cesaro and Samoa Joe in the first King of the Ring match, and even the out-of-competition tag match, this was below par.
And bearing in mind as well, following the Braun-AJ match, the whole show was then built to you getting excited for the main event of the tag titles. to the point where I actually forgot this match was happening. And when Cedric came out, I was like, oh God, yeah, we've still got... I was expecting the main event to be starting because they had that backstage segment. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh yeah, we've still got more King of the Ring stuff to do. And unfortunately, I think that's almost the way that the match was booked, because they did some stuff and Cedric won.
3 minutes.
3 minutes. And it's... Yeah, you're right. The bar was set so well by Cesaro and Joe that you really should be... That should almost be your bare minimum now for first round matches.
Yeah.
And this wasn't. And they were putting it was like, oh, but you know, Cedric Alexander made his name in WWE from tournaments. Now, one tournament. Hmm. And I suppose the Cruiserweight... I think actually he was talking about the Cruiserweight Championship one as opposed to the Cruiserweight Classic, which is where he got signed. So you could actually have some really good character story in there, but doesn't really feel like this was told here. It's just, no, Cedric won.
Yeah, I guess if the idea is to get Cedric over as a bigger star, hey, you've beaten Sami Zayn. But let's be honest, Sami Zayn has been beaten like a drum for 4 months.
That was his promo.
Yeah.
His promo was, I've lost every match since I've come back, and then I've got beaten again.
So for these two guys, really, you want to get them over with the wrestling.
Yeah.
Let them go 10 minutes. And then, yeah, you go back and forth, and both guys come out looking better for it. Really here, Cedric didn't look... any better. He just sort of stayed at a level, and Sami Zayn looked worse.
Yeah, no, I agree. And as much as I was just sort of ragging on Heyman there for his treatment of women's wrestling on the show, I'd have probably just cut the tag match. Mm. Just cut the Bliss and Cross versus Fire and Desire
just
match.
All guys.
Just, yeah, and bearing in mind, that's what's being pushed at the moment. Mm. So yeah, just focus on that.
We got the Street Profits backstage doing their usual shtick. It was very funny.
They were trying to get involved with Wrestle League.
Yeah, they had their brackets for King of the Ring.
Yeah.
Was it Dawkins who had Cesaro and he scrunched up his...
Yeah, I think he had Cesaro out. And Sammy. So he's already out. And Foz is like, mate, that's all right. We've still got SmackDown.
Mm.
And we've also got... And then just started listing off matches that are going to be happening. Very good hype men they are.
Yeah, I really like their act. And when they do eventually start having matches, I think they're going to be over just off the back of this.
Yeah.
And then we got the Natalia promo. She's backstage. She's looking right down the lens. Her arm's in a sling. She's talking about her friend Sasha Banks.
It has been 1 week since I bared my soul last week. And it was an emotional week.
And her recently passed father. And then the crowd start chanting, what? And you know what? I don't blame them.
Nope.
Because... Natalia's a very wooden promo.
And it was terrible dialogue.
Mm.
And she's such a confusing character. Why are we now supposed to be emotionally invested in her plight?
Yeah.
And no one buys it at all. You know, when Sasha beat her up last week, everyone was chanting, thank you, Sasha. So why would you now put her out here to be like, feel sorry for Natty? It's like, people aren't going to feel sorry for her because you've done such a terrible job of booking it for the last 5 to 10 years that why would we care what happens to Natalia and her dad? And it's a shame, but like that's the case we're in. And it's just WWE cynically using the death of her father to try and motivate a storyline, which no one's buying into.
Yeah, and they really do use it just for Natalia.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
With the whole Ruby Riott feud last year.
It's apparently her only character trait.
Yeah.
I have a dead dad.
Yeah, which is...
Which sucks.
Pretty bleak.
But it's very bleak and it doesn't work.
So Sasha Banks jumps her mid-promo, starts calling her a crybaby, whacks her injured arm into a sort of production crate thingy.
Yeah.
And then says, go to hell, Natty, and tell your dad I said hi. Stay classy, San Diego.
Yeah, it's what WWE do. Mm. It's not going to change. Eddie's not up there. He's down there in hell. It's what WWE do.
Yeah. If this was, you know, it is on par with the Roman Reigns stuff from last year. It's not on par, but it's in the same bad taste ballpark.
And look, that turned Dean into a completely cartoon villain. And it felt like after what could have been a bit of a vicious beatdown where she trapped Natty's arm into that drawer... She then has to say that cartoon villain line. And it's not the boss. It's Monster of the Week.
It just doesn't get any heat. Like, if that line was getting monster heat, I could be like, okay, maybe there's some use for it, but it's just a throwaway line, really.
It's throwaway stuff.
And then we got the main event. So we were a bit down on those three back-to-back segments there near the end, but everything else was absolutely amazing.
Tremendous.
High 4 out of 5.
Oh, yes. I loved this show. I had so much fun watching it, with the exception of the first two-thirds of the third hour. And then the main event really picked me back up and it left me on a big old high. Fun show.
Lovely show. Lovely time with the wrestling.
Lovely time with the Raw.
Let's see what you guys thought with the Super Chats and King Chopper.
Well, it's time for another lightning round because people have been very generous today.
Oh, thank you, folks.
An absurd amount of Super Chats. So, let's start with Vernon Jeffries, who says, I'm seeing a Reigns-type push on Seth, but at least Braun won gold and has a tag team partner that doesn't need to go back to school.
Yeah, well, you know, Nicholas is going to come back one of these days.
Yeah.
Maybe poor guy.
Seth can go back to Twitter school.
KJ says, Happy Rusev Day.
Rusev Day.
Hey, man, I haven't had that in a while. Happy Rusev Day.
Actually, I have it marked on my calendar when Rusev Day is. Do the next one. I'll tell you when it is.
You might
too
actually
slow. It's 26th of September. That's when Rusev Day began. 26th of September. It's an annually recurring appointment.
Because we thought, man, there's no way that WWE are going to squander this gimmick. It's almost impossible to do that.
You might need to help me with this one, Ollie. This one comes in from, I don't know if you can say his name properly.
Oh, I think I can see it from here. Is it Flaky McFlaker Carperin? Yeah, Flaky McFlake Carperon.
Yeah, sounds about right. He comes in to say, finally caught up on the WrestleTalk videos I missed earlier this month. I popped hard when I thought he was going to say my name correctly for my monthly shout-out. Well played, Oliver David. The feud continues.
I don't know what he's talking about. No. Anyone else?
No.
Not a clue. Nikhil Biznath says, have you heard about the viral John Cena song from Swaft A?
Swaft Africa.
Yeah.
Apparently, yeah, there's a song about John Cena or featuring John Cena or something.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I'll check it out. No, we haven't
well,
seen
you
it.
Know. Jesse Venable says, my wife doesn't watch your show. However, I did convince her to subscribe to both channels. Says she doesn't ever watch, but she enjoys hearing Ollie's voice.
Oh, that's nice.
It's a good voice.
Thanks for having the subscription thingies ticked. Go with the Screen Stalker as well today, everyone, folks, because we played a hot sauce challenge.
I mean, did you do a hot sauce challenge?
For me, it is. There's a handicap level
but
here.
But you had such little of it.
And it hurt. It hurt a lot. You were gulping it. Luke's gulping it down because his insides are made of wax.
Oh, yeah, and I'm going to really feel it tomorrow as well.
Rex Joseph Calmerin says, I can't wait for your opinions on Sasha's line to Natalia. We've already talked about that. P.S. I bought a ticket for New Japan Royal Quest.
Hey.
I'm hoping I'll be able to meet my heroes, all of you guys. Hashtag superheroes are real.
Oh, that's very kind of you to say. But we're thinking about something along those lines, aren't we?
Yeah, well, I think that thing's been cancelled.
Well, we had a different plan in place.
So we've got, yeah, I think there's a pub called the Four Quarters. We'll just take it over.
Yeah.
Before the show.
Sean Turner says, that Ray segment got me emotional. It reminds me of my relationship with my uncle. I haven't seen him in years. Other than Seth, this Raw was great.
Oh, I thought Seth was really good on this show.
Yeah, I think, yeah, it was good booking of him. Hmm. And yeah, the Ray segment got me in the feels.
Yeah.
Sean Turner comes back again to say, it's official. I like Roman more than Seth. I can't stand him. This only proves to Vince the crowd don't know what they want. Now I miss Baron.
Wow. I mean, like, I thought Seth was booked pretty well on this show,
yeah.
But overall, I'm much more into Roman right now because he's having killer matches and he's got the best storyline.
Oh, and I'm into Seth more than Roman now.
Really? After that Dolph match?
But I really enjoyed that set. I mean, I'm just so looking forward to this, where the Seth Braun storyline could go.
Okay.
I'm much more interested in it now than I was last week.
Kevin comes in to say, this show was 4.5 out of 5 for me. I really enjoyed it. I thought Booker was going to say good things about Rollins just like Austin. Also, Vic Joseph was really refreshing on commentary.
Yeah.
Good show.
Limps Tomo's number 2 fan says, this show was designed to put Vic Joseph over. Surprising for Michael Cole to provide color commentary, which still sucks. wonderfully chaotic episode yet again. Cheers, Swaff Nation and Wrestle Chaps.
Yeah, people really like Vic Joseph.
Well, he was literally over everybody else.
Then he was.
On how tall he is.
Boots.
Is this
Aaron Watson says, just got an email from WWE saying NXT will move to USA September 18th and be available on the WWE Network the next day.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. So this was announced about 20 minutes before we went live that NXT is moving to the USA Network. I can't imagine why.
No, it's probably been in the works for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Wednesday's always been their day. Yeah. So, yeah, they've probably always been the plan.
Ollie, you look ridiculous. Callan Sloan says, I don't understand why they would put the titles on Braun and Seth, because now they have to figure out a way to get the titles off them without making Seth look weak. Now Gallows and Anderson have no more momentum.
I disagree.
I think you can book it to counteract that, but yeah. Mainly by the way Luke said.
Thanks you.
Ron Spragen says, try to tell you about the Autumn Revival faction.
There you go. That's what we said. Yeah, yeah.
He called it, brother.
Yeah, he called it.
Tom Garan says, happy birthday, Chopper. Thanks. You can tell this is when the stream started.
We're only now at where the stream started?
Yep.
Oh, good. I mean, great.
Yeah.
Great for the revenue.
Mr. Angel G15 says, happy birthday, Chopper. Thank you. Still not my birthday. The DA said, RIP NXT 2012 to 2019.
Now, let's give it a chance. It'll be fine. Hey, Raw's been great. Like, Raw and SmackDown are really, really good at the moment. I don't know why we're all of a sudden down on NXT, because now it's going to be rubbish. It's on the USA Network.
I want more of the same company. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Doback.
A good thing.
Mr. Doback says, happy birthday, Pete. Thanks. Still not my birthday. D-Pin says, that Fiend attack may have been the creepiest yet.
I'm not sure it's the creepiest one. No.
Yeah, the Balor one.
Yeah, Balor.
iChronic Bud Ryan says, now I'm back on the second shift. Can catch you lads in the morning here in Michigan. Thanks for all you do and the consistent content. Happy birthday, Chopper. Still not my birthday.
Well, thank you very much. Home with Daniel Bryan.
King Rasta says, what's more impactful, winning a championship on a pay-per-view or losing your titles on a TV episode?
What a
fascinating question.
I'm
going to answer that in the most vaguest way possible. It depends on the person, depends on the title.
It sounds like a riddle.
A match riddle.
There's a second part to that super chat as well that just says, can Ollie do the Drake Maverick bit? I love it.
Drake Maverick.
Thank you. Jobber JJ says, Ollie Davidson, number one fan, says, King Chopper Whopper, I'm King Jobber. Cool.
King Chopper Whopper.
Danny W says that guest commentator was refreshing as hell, which we've talked about a lot. Sean Turner says, I can't believe Chopper won King of the Ring.
Congratulations. It was bound to happen, really, wasn't it?
I just need a cape and a scepter now. Christian Baltimore says, love you guys. Luke, can you please do your Undertaker voice?
I just need one more soul, Vince. Just give me one more soul, Vince. I can quit anytime I want.
Matthew Robinson says, hello, I'll be in the London area on the weekend of All Out. Was wondering if I could meet you guys and buy you some drinks. # Swerve Nation Forever. # The Real Boss Matt Robinson.
Oh, we're going to be so drunk that day. We've got to watch All Out.
Yeah,
everyone's going to buy us drinks.
Yeah, so we are. Yeah, we're going to organise a Swerve Nation meetup before Royal Quest.
Yeah, there's a pub real close to.
It's literally across the road, yeah. Yeah. And there's retro video game consoles there. Good time for all.
Nunu comes in to say, it's good that Chopper won King of the Ring on his birthday. Thanks. Jay Jones says, lovely, lovely, lovely time with the boys.
How many people are calling you King Chopper Whopper?
None.
Just the one?
Yeah.
It needs to be more.
I mean, from the super chats. I can't see the chat right now.
Right,
but,
yeah.
Jobber JJ comes back in again to say, all hail King Jobber, I'm the king. I mean, who's wearing a crown right now? Abram Penner says, the Ziggler-Reigns match was really enjoyable and not a total squash. Cesaro Joe was a knocker, but Cesaro shouldn't have tapped. I'd rather he went out. Also, Autumn Revival faction. Yes, please.
Yeah, man, I thought it were really cool, those three together.
Yeah, I think Cesaro tapping's fine. First round of this, do the pass-out finish for something bigger.
Yeah.
Matt Robinson's back again to say, I think the story would be better if it was the OC who attacked Roman and they made it look like Brian.
I'm still calling that it's going to be Brian is going to be the one to say, it wasn't Rowan, it was me. Mm. And that's the big reveal.
Didn't he already say that, though, in his promo?
That it was,
but it wasn't him.
He said that he's ruined our reputation, but I don't think he said those words. He might have said those words, it wasn't me. But again, it adds more hypocrisy to him hating liars.
Tim Arndt comes back in to say, Seth couldn't sell tuna to a starving cat, let alone a serious rib injury.
I don't know why he's even bothering. Why even bother with the tape? The first thing he did was a dive off the top rope.
Guys, I am selling. Look at all the tape.
Anton H says, King Chopper! Like, in a King Whopper. Booker voice. And he said, it's not King Chopper Whopper. It's not happening. Reyes Cologne says, I think it would be awesome if the King of the Ring tournament would be structured like the G1 climax.
Yeah, round robin stuff's always good.
Yeah, that would last a lot longer.
Yeah, and I don't think WWE would ever do it.
I think, look, King of the Ring is a tournament. If you want to do a more block A, block B, winners face each other thing, make that a Raw, SmackDown bracket. Make that a new tournament, I think.
I completely
for
agree. For
the 24/7 title.
Also, King Chopper Whopper sounds like a baddie from Super Mario.
Mm.
Sean Dunn says, All Elite Wrestle Talk, chop the world.
Hey, yeah. You know, and actually, maybe we should... We've been talking about what we're going to do once AEW starts running TV. We think we're going to be doing two Wrestle Rambles on that Thursday.
Yeah. We haven't quite figured that out yet.
Yeah.
Matt Robinson again says, I think Io Shirai should be sent up after War Games and give her a straight heel run through Royal Rumble to beat Becky at WrestleMania.
Hey, that needs to be called up now. You're on the USA Network. You're now officially the third brand.
Wyatt Yappel says, Happy it's not your birthday day, Pete.
But it is his birthday.
It's always his birthday.
Well. Cotton Candy Lover says, Hey guys, it's 100 degrees here in Texas, and I'm working outside, but it's all okay because I'm also having a lovely time with the boys. Love
lovely
you,
Lovely time
Ollie.
With the boys.
I wonder what the real feel is.
Yeah. Sweaty.
Sweaty.
Very. Forged by Gaming says, After all these years, NXT is getting called up.
There it is. That's the one right there.
I'm stealing that joke tomorrow.
Oh, that's very good.
Yeah, very good.
Aaron says, who is the super chatter from earlier that said he was cursed when it gets better when he doesn't watch, then when he comes back it gets worse. And he said, by the way, haven't watched it about 8 weeks. See? Cursed!
That's exactly when, like 5 weeks ago was when it started to get really good again.
Yeah.
I have never seen a naked Mexican, great name, says, Tony Schiavone has signed with AEW. What do you guys think of that?
It's unconfirmed as of right now.
But I mean, you know, PW Insider, Meltzer are reporting it. Unconfirmed.
Unconfirmed, but it's basically a done deal, yeah.
It's, yeah, I mean, Tony Schiavone, great signing for AEW.
Sucks for MLW.
I love his voice, but yeah, by all accounts, he's got an exclusive contract with MLW.
It feels a bit underhand.
It does feel a bit snidey. And this is like, you know, AEW are a big company. They are going to... either by accident or intentionally, or be accused of doing underhand things.
Yeah.
And this is like the first one of them. It's where that falls. I feel, I mean, I don't know how it can't be genuinely underhand.
Yeah, unless MLW are lying, then he's not under an exclusive contract and they are, it's absolutely fine. They're just trying to play the victim. I don't really
see that's their company though. Bauer, he's a very straight
up
guy.
That's the only way that it would work. That they've managed to get him out of an exclusive contract. But, you know, on the flip side of that, a Schiavone Ross Excalibur team for commentary sounds pretty good, really. And if you are looking to bring back those lapsed fans that were watching in 1999-2000 that have disappeared, you got the voice of WWF in 1999-2000 and the voice of WCW in 1999-2000. So pretty smart move.
Yeah.
Lord Zeus says, with The Fiend taking out legends left and right, looks like we're heading towards a Fiend versus Taker match at Mania. Taker's final match?
I mean, I thought we had Taker's final match years ago. You can never say it's going to be Taker's final match.
With part of Bray's character seemingly being him taking out people who he's feuded with before, to get that win back over Taker, Cena, that needs to happen.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Asaya Garner says, long-time watcher, first-time super chatter. Love you guys. Braun Strowman is a two-time tag champ. Who'd have thought those are his only title reigns?
Crazy, isn't it?
It is indeed, yeah.
Tana Starika says, the only news worth talking about is that Bray Wyatt is safe. That man is a treasure and needs to be so overly protected. NXT is going to suck. Seth is awful. Bray and Sasha is all I have. Let him in.
I think there's more stuff to like than that.
Yeah, I mean, Bray and Sasha are very good parts of it, but... Yeah, everything, but a lot of 80% of this show was very, very, very watchable.
You see that people keep calling Shah Samuels a national treasure after his Mug of the Week, because that's going to be his new nickname.
The
national treasure, Shah nice. Samuels.
He also put a stop to that because he realised that Nick Aldis was called the national treasure. So he said, oh, never mind.
I think Shah's way bigger of a national treasure than Nick is. And I love Nick.
Newtops4 says, P.S. love you guys. And Ollie, love your shirt.
Oh, thank you very much.
Good shirt, mate.
Got me animal on there.
Lady Starfire says, isn't NXT supposed to be developmental?
Well, hasn't been for years.
No,
really.
That's not been the case for a long, long time. Evolve is developmental.
Yeah.
Cypher versus everyone. Good choice of Pokemon in your name there. Fiend should have attacked Booker T as well.
What, in the Skype? Cool.
A lot of people in the chat today have been saying that all this Skype product placement is leading to the Fiend attacking someone behind in a Skype call 1 week.
I like that.
I think it'd be fun.
Although if he does cut off the electricity, the call will just turn off.
Yeah.
Bloop, bloop, bloop. Bloop, 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 bloop.
Spot on impersonation.
Thank you.
What amazing impressions we've had on this show. That's Seth, Braun, Taker, Skype calls.
Someone make a montage.
Runs for a Gen is back to say, really like them doing all these backstage pre-recorded promos. Allows the wrestlers to seem more real than awkwardly playing to the crowd / messing up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Much better than my guest at this time.
Yeah.
Lord Zeus is back again saying, fantasy booking. Kofi holds the title till Mania, where he'll drop the belt to the challenger, who is Adam Cole, that was called up in the Rumble, and wins it. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, that's... I don't know what the story would be, or...
No.
Yeah.
But it's an option.
Yeah. Tyler Bailey says, question of the day, who has the best spine buster?
Arn Anderson. I love Scott Dawson. Is it Scott Dawson who does a really good spine buster?
And
Batista's spine buster. Hey, I like the Rock spine buster with the kick.
Carl Anderson's got a wicked spine buster.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Huh. I love the spine buster as a move.
I'd say Carl Anderson, personally. Justin Anzaldua says, thank God it wasn't Renee and Cole on commentary. It was, wasn't it?
No, but I think he means just the two of them. Just the two of them.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
Devante Lee says, all of the commentary saying Drew is my pick made me sit there and realize, well, he's not winning this year.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't think Drew's winning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially in the first round match against Ricochet.
In all fairness, though, good. He needs to stay as far away from that crown and scepter.
Jeffrey Moody says, Fiend appearances feel empty. They need a Cole-ism.
Oh, let him in.
Oh, yeah. That's a great shout.
It's Fiend time. Kay Amal says, Cesaro started the match like how I start every match in the 2K games.
Run and then strike.
Yeah.
It's the way to do it. Nikolai Azapardi says, watching 12 minutes behind the live feed, howdy from Malta.
Hey, Malta.
Hello, Malta.
Malta or Malta.
So you said the same
thing.
Wait,
Malta?
Yeah.
Malta.
I just said Malta.
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 Like a Walter. Kent person saying Walter.
Yeah.
Walter.
Walter.
Computer. Malta.
Pooter.
Anyway, Sparks says, would be cool to see Truth and Maverick team up for a 24/7 title and then take turns being champion while the other person is sleeping.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, defending it. Proper 24/7.
Yeah, I think we're definitely going to get Truth and Drake teaming up. I just, I'm kind of... It's a nice little wrinkle, I suppose, to it, but I'm sort of over them being involved in it.
Well, I'm glad that Kanellisai resigned, that's all.
Yeah. Devante Lee says, I looked away for a second and I missed the RKO. It was seriously out of nowhere. Also, does this mean that Kofi has to take over tag team duties?
I suppose, yeah, Woods is, but it depends on how serious the leg injury is.
I hope very. Like, they play it up. Woods can be in a...
He's got to defend the title.
Yeah. Adds the drama. Maybe Kofi has to fight twice that night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Robert Banker says, Orton and Revival. Legacy 2.0?
God, I hope not. I know people like Legacy now, but it did nothing for Cody and Ted DiBiase. He killed them.
It was not a good faction.
No, it was terrible.
Tanastarika's back to say, Natty is as useful as Alicia Fox. She is awful. I also hate Seth more and more. I can't get behind any of what he has going on. Bray should be champ.
Yeah, man. People do not like Seth at the moment. No. I mean, I'm enjoying the storyline, but he needs to sell injuries.
So, Natty is not a good promo. But everything else about her is very... Like, she's a very good in-ring wrestler.
Her match at SummerSlam was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Devante Lee's back again to say, trying to explain the rules of tag team wrestling to my grandma was extremely frustrating because, yes, I know two people shouldn't be in the ring.
It's referee's discretion.
Yeah. You're only allowed to do it a couple of times, though. I think the actual rules are you're allowed four.
You're allowed four breaks. Interference, yeah.
But the commentators never bring that up.
No.
Tomo's back in.
Tomo.
To say, don't worry, Pete. I have joined you in wearing a crown. King Chopper and King Tomo will reign supreme until we take the crowns off. Sure we will, thanks. Rocker Productions says, went to a WWE live show this weekend and they had a Miz TV spot with Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross with great chemistry. My question is, why is Miz on the road for a promo to set up a Riot Squad run-in?
Well, you got to get paid somehow, haven't you?
Yeah, that's what they got for him this week.
Yeah.
Ed says, is Ollie only wearing his underwear?
No, he's got his...
It might look like underwear.
Yeah, I was going to say, you have very short shorts
They're
on.
Short shorts.
Yeah. Those are too short.
They are very short.
So short.
Very short.
It's on trend.
Sure.
It's on fleek.
Don't ever say that again, Luke.
I don't know what it means, mate, to be honest.
Jobber JJ says, King Chopper Whopper, make this a thing.
There it is.
Let's not. Dwayne Cooley says, are you guys more excited for Murphy versus Bryan than Roman versus Murphy? My excitement level shot up when I saw the announcement.
Yeah, Bryan versus Murphy should be brilliant. Yeah.
I went to bed last night. Before I went to bed, I said to my girlfriend in the bed, I'm really looking forward to Raw tomorrow. Yeah. And she went, what's that? And I said, the show I watch every Tuesday morning. Keep up. She went, oh, but then you usually like dreading it a bit. Like, it's been really good. And I feel the same about SmackDown. I'm into WWE for the first time.
It's good to be a fan again.
Since running a wrestling channel.
Only a few more left. We've got Tomo back again.
Tomo.
To say, I like King Chopper Whopper. Sounds like a good merch idea.
Chopper Whopper.
Yeah, merch for Chopper Whopper.
Let's not. REI Gamer and Geek says, a very merry unbirthday, King Chopper. Thank you.
But it's totally your birthday.
It's definitely not. Jobber JJ is back to say, I'll make it a thing. plus, I'm also wearing a crown and a belt.
Okay.
Sure thing, man.
If you're wearing a crown at home, tweet us. We can't just take this.
Yeah, I was going to say, I want proof.
Yeah. Pixar, it didn't happen. Chad Rick Clark says, did you guys hear Evolution might be coming back? I assumed the pay-per-view, not the faction.
Oh, right. I was going to say, really?
Oh, I thought they weren't bringing it back.
No, I think they did say something. I saw some story about Evolution 2.
I think it was supposed to be they're not doing an Evolution 2 because they're going to do an all-women's SmackDown, I think probably around the time of the Saudi show, because the Saudi show is on a Thursday and SmackDown's going to be on a Friday now.
Yeah.
So they won't have all the talent to come back.
Aren't the women on the show for Saudi?
Oh, don't know why they're not, really. Yeah. Forefront of change. Jobber JJ comes back again to say, Pete, you're welcome for King Chopper Whopper. Thanks. Jamie Adams says, where the hell is Jason Jordan?
Injured. Transitioned into a producer role.
Very unfortunately.
Most likely
injured.
Retired.
Jonathan Bryant says, any chance of them going with Andrade and Charlotte as King and Queen?
Yeah, but you'd have to make them an on-screen couple, and I don't want that.
Yeah, this year has not been a good year for portraying real-life couples on screen.
And finally, Erica Duran, Luke Owen's real number one fan, real all in capitals, says, King Chopper, joined late but wanted to know, who is your all-time favorite wrestler, guys?
Raven is mine.
Kurt Angle. What about you, Chopper?
I don't know. I haven't really thought about it properly. I'd need some time
for
that one.
Come on, just knee-jerk reaction.
First name that comes to your head.
I can't, no. Because there's people I'm into now, but I can't think of, like, all time.
Overall. Who was the first person you were like, ooh.
Yeah, when you first got into wrestling, which was fairly recently.
Well, I mean, I used to watch it when I was a kid, and I got very excited for The Rock.
Well, there you go. So The Rock.
But he's not my favorite of all time, probably. and then finally,
thorn into that.
And then finally, Short Kid Gamer and Javanshu Dua for donating, but with no message.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody.
Just want everyone to know that the outro is now going to be even shorter because Ollie Davis spent the last 5 minutes fanning around with the set.
I've got magazines to sell. I needed it to be in the shop without glare.
Yeah,
without
glare.
The last time this happened, and I didn't take time on it, I sprayed the only almanac we had in adhesive glue rather than non-reflective spray.
I told Steve about that when he came to the studio, and he was like, why is this so sticky? And I was like, fun story.
Just leave it up to his imagination.
Oh, yeah. I literally just left it there. It's like, fun story. I've got to set up this stream now, so sit there in silence for a little bit. This is an email that came in from Brandon, who maybe I'll do this one for another day, but if you can give some quick advice to him. He says, hi, Luke. My name is Brandon. I've been a fan of WrestleTalk since a few weeks before you came on, and I've been an avid fan ever since. If you remember a long time ago, you referenced that 70s show and said it was based out of Green Bay like Raw was, and some fan called you a C word.
Wow, I don't remember that.
Yeah, that was me. And oh my gosh, it was a complete joke. It was actually my first ever comment on a YouTube video, and I felt starstruck when you mentioned it on the following ramble. I'm sorry I offended you. It's because I referenced it because I thought he got so offended that I mistook. Because it's based in Wisconsin, which is where Green Bay is, but apparently it's a different town to Wisconsin, and that was so offensive he called me a C-word.
So it was a jokey C word.
Yes, but of course
which
that
which is yeah.
Yeah, but I was also bearing in time when I was just getting called that, you know, because I was doing the news. So I just thought, that's just another reason to call me one.
Yeah, it's nice when people think, ah, you took that one the wrong way. No, I took it probably the 90% correct way. You need to add some emojis in there if you mean it sarcastically.
Indeed. Right, anyway, let's rush through this. He just says, I'm writing today to say thank you, watching Ollie and yourself. All this time has inspired me to go get a YouTube career for myself with my best friend. We're starting out a Let's Play channel and plan on keep on going whilst expanding into other mediums such as interviews, etc. I was wondering if you have any advice on how to become so successful on YouTube as you guys are killing it.
Sorry, we're going to have to crush you. It sounds like competition to me. So what we're going to do when you start your daily show, we're going to put our developmental Patreon stuff on to counter it.
Nice.
I learn from the best. I learn from the best. I guess just be consistent. And here it's going to come. Stay true to yourself.
There it is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because that's what makes you you. That's the unique thing you've got to offer.
Thank you.
I can't say that, honestly.
No.
Well, but it's true. It's like a cliche, but that's probably the best advice. But I sound like a tit.
Thank you to Frank, who sent in an email putting over Beth's commentary because I said that she added nothing to the takeover events, and he was arguing her corner. And lastly, this is from Gareth, who says, hi, Luke. Just listened to Saturday's ramble, and one thing really concerned me.
Uh-oh.
When discussing the possibility of doing a show in the North, Ollie mentioned about possibly being at a show in Nottingham. That is not the North. I appreciate, as a Londoner, the North is anything above the Watford
Gap.
Where
does the North
start? As a Scouser living in Yorkshire, Nottingham is definitely not the North. I only say this as I would love you guys to do a show in the actual North, as Nottingham is still about 100 miles away from here. Keep up the consistent work. Thanks.
Okay.
It's more like the Midlands, I suppose.
Okay. I've got, is Nottingham in the North or the South? This is from Nottinghamshire Live's website. It's a question that has vexed commentators and clever types for years. We look at both sides of the Great Divide. Ooh, this is not a yes or no answer. Okay, well, it seems to be at the tippity top of the Midlands, but the Midlands is mainly Birmingham and Wolverhampton. Or as, for our American listeners, Birmingham.
Yes, Birmingham.
Well, okay, well, that's disappointing. It just says it's more of a state of mind.
Well, there you go. So technically, we weren't wrong
when
we said it was the North. And, you know, your email was wrong instead. And the only reason I feel like I'm being a bit defensive at the moment, every email I got over the weekend was saying something we did wrong, or people disagreeing with us, or people telling us to change things. So I was just like, Christ on a bike. We've opened up a floodgates with this whole Super Chat debate. It almost just, now everyone just feels the need to email and tell us when we're being tits.
Yeah.
I miss the days when we had a little amount of listeners and people just liked what we were doing.
Do that on the iTunes reviews, but just do it 5 stars, but then do like quite scathing criticism.
But we are now out of time. I'm going to read this one out quickly. No, I'm not, because Pete's just giving me the eye.
Oh, that was a stink eye.
There was a bit of a stink eye there. So sorry, Jim. We'll read out your email on another day. Actually, we reread out your email where you said that he popped big for something that you said, and then you really downplayed it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got a follow-up to that. Fantastic. Anyway, so that will come on tomorrow's email. Sorry, Jim.
I think it was American accents from international schools.
Mean Pete is giving me the stink eye, so now we've got to end this. So, again, So we're going to have to pull this to a close. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with the SmackDown review. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.